Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to continue to pile on Pope Francis, the head of the Roman Catholic Church. October 1st, we're headed to Italy, and one of our first stops will be the Vatican. We'll be in Rome. We'll go to St. Peter's Basilica. The timing is rather extraordinary. It would not surprise me if Pope Francis becomes the second pope in a row to resign, even though that is so astoundingly rare. It had been 600 years before the previous pope, Pope Benedict XVI, before he resigned, it had been, what, over 600 years before a pope resigned. If I recall, in 2,000 years, there had only been two popes resign, I think. It had been 600 years since the last one. And then Benedict XVI, he resigned suddenly, unexpectedly. And if you recall, at the time, there had been a very hard-hitting scandal. VatiLeaks, they called it, like WikiLeaks, only VatiLeaks. And it talked about the power struggle. Documents from within the Vatican, secret documents, were made public. And there's a homosexual power base within the Vatican. So for whatever reasons, that pope resigned, and a pope who was extremely supportive of homosexuality and homosexuals outwardly, he replaced Benedict. So now here at Bob and Yurt Live, of course, we're going to continue to pile on Pope Francis, who should be the second pope in a row to resign now. He should resign. We mentioned yesterday that the Vatican's chief diplomat, their ambassador to the United States, was canned by the Pope 2 years ago, and now that former ambassador to Washington, D.C., and he was Archbishop Carlo Vigano, he has put out a public report, 11 pages, stating that Pope Francis, almost from the beginning of his papacy, knew of the sexual accusations, the cover-up regarding the archbishop in Washington, D.C., a guy named Ted McCarrick, and that the even though the previous pope had put light sanctions on him, quietly sanctioned him, the present Pope Francis removed those sanctions, met with McCarrick, and supported his ongoing and public ministry. So the former Vatican ambassador goes public. And now we also have a prosecutor in Pennsylvania where a grand jury has released a report looking at 70 years of the diocese within Pennsylvania and identifying over 1,000 children that had been molested by priests, by more than 300 priests over a period of 70 years, and how many other victims were there. The prosecutor in that case has stated that he has hard evidence that while the bishops in Pennsylvania would lie to their parishioners, they would lie to the public, they would lie to the police, yet they would document in some detail the abuse, and then oftentimes send that documentation to the Vatican so that the Vatican was very aware of what was going on. And this is just in one state in America. This is a worldwide epidemic for the Catholic Church because of their perversion against marriage, their undermining of marriage. Even though the church has always supported marriage for those not in ministry by prohibiting marriage for those who are priests, and nuns for that matter, they are undermining God's design for marriage. In the Bible, the patriarchs were married, the priests were married, The prophets were married. God's kings were married. The apostles were married. Peter was married. Jesus healed his mother-in-law, as we discussed yesterday. And Paul complained that he had to travel. He'd get stuck with Barnabas while Peter traveled with his wife. So if you ever go to St. Peter's Basilica and they show you where Peter is buried, I mentioned this yesterday, whatever you do, don't ask them, well, where is his wife buried? It's like going to McDonald's and asking for fries without salt. It messes everything up. So then you also have, the prosecutor in Pennsylvania saying that the bishops throughout Pennsylvania knew about the sexual abuse and lied about it. It was a systematic cover-up. And you've got another Vatican official from Washington, D.C. His name is Bishop Lanthiume. His name is Monsignor Lanthiume. He says that the former top diplomat of the Vatican, when he says that the Pope knew, that's the truth. That is actually what has occurred. So we'll get to that from the Catholic News Agency. Meanwhile, as we said yesterday, when the Pope was asked by journalists about this accusation that he knew about and helped to cover up accusations of sexual abuse at the highest level in the U.S., at the highest level of Catholic leadership in Washington, D.C., the Pope said, I will not comment on that. I will not say a word about that. You know, every time Pope Francis and previous popes, every time they have said horrific things, you know what so many Catholics have said? They've said, oh, that's the translation. That's the English translation. You have to look at what he said in Spanish. Francis is from Argentina, right? You have to look at what he said in Latin. You have to look at what he said in Polish. Benedict. Yeah. You always have to look at what they say, as though the translators have no idea what they're doing. They just translate indiscriminately. And every time we have looked into what the Pope actually said, it has always been horrific. And we document this for Francis at kgov.com/pope. So then you've got the U.S. cardinals now. You've got bishops, archbishops, and cardinals. And eventually they just fly away, you know. But the U.S. cardinals are defending themselves over the claim that the church hierarchy systematically lied to the public, to the police, to their own parishioners, even to the victims and the families of those who had been abused, as has happened in Denver with former Archbishop Charles Caput Chaput. He's now in Pennsylvania, right, of all places. And he has stonewalled, as has the current Archbishop of Denver, stonewalled family members of those who were abused by a Denver priest, Neil Hewitt. And you could hear the series we've done, and you could read the handwritten letter left behind by one of the men who had been abused as a boy by Father Hewitt. And introduced to alcohol and pornography when this young boy, Stuart Saki, when his father had died, he was young, and Father Hewitt came along to the mom and said, don't worry, I'll be there for him. And boy, was he there for him. What a horror. And to this day, the Denver Archdiocese, rather than being contrite, rather than being sorry, treats the victims' families like lawyers and refuses to answer the simplest of questions. For example, were there accusations against Neil Hewitt before the Denver Archdiocese moved him to Leadville, Colorado, up in the mountains? And if so, then they had sicked a predator on unsuspecting families and children. Even though they may not be responsible for any initial molestations that Neil Hewitt committed against children, boys, in Denver as a priest, once they were aware of accusations and they started a cover-up and they moved him to another parish up in the mountains, like sending him to the Russian front or Siberia or something, up in Leadville, Colorado, 10,000 feet in elevation. And they do that, then they are responsible for the children he molests there when they gave him a second chance with fresh children to be a predator. Then they are responsible. And isn't that exactly why the Denver Archdiocese and Archbishop Samuel Aquila refuses to tell the family members to answer their one question? From the beginning, they've said, we have one question. And this is when I went with Stuart's cousin, Donna, to the Archdiocese. We scheduled the meeting. We went, and they asked one question. Were there accusations before you moved Father Hewitt to our town, Leadville, Colorado? Were there accusations? At the time, the Roman Catholic Church, they were advertising, because of the scandal in Boston that rocked the church because of the, what was it, $100 million that had paid out in lawsuits? And so, you know, money talks. With people who are not contrite, money talks. And so from that first meeting through subsequent meetings, through other victims coming forward, the one question has been, were there accusations? And Archbishop Samuel Aquila is not contrite. He's not sorry. He's an attorney. He's a lawyer. That is, he's acting like a lawyer and managing the risk instead of saying to these families, we are so sorry. The church had been systematically covering up and moving predators. We never should have done it. We're sorry. Or he says, there had been no accusations, except that we already know that there were victims in Denver. So it will not be a surprise if Pope Francis resigns. There have been, what, five in the last 2,000 years? If you average it out, it's like one every 400 years. And now this Pope, and Francis, didn't he say when he took the job, didn't he say he'd only be there for a year or two? Am I the only person in the whole world who remembers that? He said he'd only be there for 2 years, maybe. And he's still there. And I also remember the Protestants who write books that this is the last pope and that the second coming or the rapture will occur before this pope leaves office. So now we're coming down to the wire with that, right? So I have these things. We take notes on these things because the prophecies made in these end times books, and I am waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, the second advent. I pray that it is soon. It's hard to imagine how the world could continue like it is. But if you were in Europe during World War II, forget World War II, World War I, if you were there, you would think, how could things continue? And then World War II hits. How could things possibly continue? And then 9/11 hits, and you're in New York City, and you think, this is it, this is Revelation. So it's easy to think this must be the end, but we keep track, and our dear friends, if you go to kgov.com/endtimes, end-times, you'll see my interview with Jonathan Kahn, who's a popular End Times author, and the one-page write-up, if you read that, you'll see the difference between End Times prophecy and end times hype. You'll see the difference. And for decades, for centuries now, end times hype has worked to undermine the credibility of those who share the gospel. Because there are people who pay attention and see that all these prophecies, is this going to be the last pope? Or is it yet more lack of credibility? Okay, so the Vatican knew. This is a Reuters story out yesterday. The Vatican knew of the Pennsylvania sex abuse cover-up, the systematic cover-up, according to prosecutor Joshua Shapiro. Oh boy, we have a Jewish prosecutor righteously going after the Roman Catholic Church. Boy, does history have its twists and turns. So according to Reuters, the Vatican knew of a cover-up of child sex abuse. And of course, Reuters is harshly anti-Christian. They wear their anti-Christian bigotry on their sleeves, and so we recognize that. So when you read anything, you have to be aware of the source. You have to use discernment. So the Vatican knew of a cover-up of child sex abuse by Roman Catholic priests in Pennsylvania through secret archives that bishops in the state shared with church leaders in Rome, and that's according to the Pennsylvania State Attorney General, Joshua Shapiro. Now, he goes by Josh Shapiro. So that was said yesterday. Catholic bishops in Pennsylvania have systematically denied the sexual abuse of more than 1,000 children over a 70-year period, yet they secretly documented the cases and often sent that information on to the Vatican, the Attorney General has reported. The archives were kept by six of the state's dioceses. So in the Catholic Church, like in Louisiana, a county is called a parish. And in the Catholic Church, a local church, one church, is called a parish. And a collection of churches in a region are called a diocese. Then you have an archdiocese, a collection of dioceses. Here in Colorado, you have the Colorado Springs Diocese and the Denver Diocese, and together they're an archdiocese. Leadville, Colorado used to be part of Denver, and I don't know if it was because of the Neil Hewitt scandal or what, but Denver disassociated itself from the Leadville Roman Catholic Church and attached it to the Colorado Springs Diocese. Boy, talk about being dissed. So the Pennsylvania Attorney General says, quote, there are specific examples where when the abuse occurred, the priest and the bishops would go and lie to parishioners. They would lie to law enforcement. They would lie to the public, but then document all the abuse in secret archives. Huh, it's no longer secret, right? What does the Bible say? Your sin will find you out. But then they would go and document all the abuse in secret archives that they would share oftentimes with the Vatican. So Shapiro said this on CBS This Morning, the TV show. He added that there are also specific examples where the Vatican knew of this abuse and they were involved in the cover-up. So the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the USCCB, which, by the way, they've always been in lockstep with National Right to Life and Focus on the Family and James Dobson, who was effectively, he was the Protestant Pope, and they've always been in lockstep regulating abortion, regulating child killing. You don't regulate the murder of the innocent. With ISIS, you don't try to regulate how they behead the innocent. You fight to get them to stop beheading the innocent. You don't regulate how it is done. So the USCCB, they've been in lockstep with Focus on the Family, James Dobson, and National Right to Life, and Concerned Women for America, in their support for regulating child killing, for supporting exceptions in laws and in candidates. They're against killing some children, but not against killing all children. And they've been opposed to all efforts to legally abolish child killing or to stand up for the personhood, to acknowledge the personhood of the unborn child, that the child actually has a right to life. Believe it or not, National Right to Life, for decades, has been opposed to any law that asserts the right to life of the unborn child. Any law that's actually put forward with an effort to get it to pass, as in all the state personhood, abolition, human life amendments. So the Catholic bishops, the USCCB, issued a statement yesterday saying that the report put out by the Pennsylvania grand jury showed, and this is astounding that they've acknowledged this, that the report showed the culture of silence, that's their words, the culture of silence around the sexual abuse of minors reached to the highest level of the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. That's their words. That the culture of silence, reached to, quote, the highest level of the hierarchy. Wow. And they say, then they say, we got to hold the bishops accountable. You are the bishops. We got to hold them. That's like me saying, you know, there's a lot of trouble at Denver Bible Church. We got to hold the pastor responsible. I am the pastor. This stuff is all crazy, but I am thankful that they acknowledged that there was a culture. How could you deny it, right? Well, I know how you could deny it. If you're a cardinal, you could just fly away. If you're a cardinal, you just deny reality. But at least these bishops, they're acknowledging the secrecy, the cover-up, basically. It's a criminal cover-up. Not only should the Pope resign, perhaps he should be indicted. Forget the Russians, you got the bishops. But you know what? Liberals will have a very hard time with the whole Me Too movement and all. Liberals will have a very hard time going against their support for Pope Francis because he's been so radically pro-homosexual. Oh, I know, he's said contradictory things, but overwhelmingly, and in his actions especially, and in his relationships and throughout his entire career from when he was a young teacher in Argentina, he's been radically pro-homosexual. And so they'll have a hard time, right? On the one hand, they're weighing the cover-up of sexual abuse and men in positions of power abusing others sexually. And on the other hand, they're weighing Pope Francis' support for homosexuality. And as we have documented on this show, we have a list, kgov.com/pedophilia. We have the list of the liberals' love affair with pedophiles. The astounding documentation of time after time after time when they've taken the pedophile's side. And so it's going to be hard for the left to keep faith with the Me Too movement and call for the resignation of a pope who's so pro-homosexual. They won't even acknowledge that a child molester even theoretically could be homosexual. They won't even acknowledge that. kgov.com/homosexuality. I debated a leading homosexual activist. He would not even acknowledge that theoretically you could have a homosexual child molestation. Not even theoretically. And I said, well, we certainly know that there are a lot of heterosexual child molesters. There are men who are heterosexual who molest girls. We acknowledge that. We're not afraid of the truth. But when you're afraid of the truth, you're on the wrong side. Best to switch sides before it's too late. So Reuters concludes by pointing out that Pope Francis has recently accepted a number of resignations from Chile. Bishops in Chile, because of the sex abuse scandal there, it's rocked the country, just like happened in Ireland. I mean, all of the humanism that has destroyed the church in Europe, right? The church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, they've got their Pontifical Academy of Science. It's run all by atheists, right? They had their Pontifical Academy for Life, which Pope Francis gutted. He basically closed it down without closing it. He gutted it, so Catholic lay leaders launched a new Academy for Life. But the Pontifical Academy for Science, that thing, it's run by atheists. And the atheists are Darwinists. They think that we evolved from apes, and they buy into the Big Bang, which has been totally decimated by all the discoveries from astrophysicists and astronomers. Just Google Big Bang predictions, and whatever the top site is, just read it. Big Bang predictions, you'll find out that the predictions of the Big Bang theory have all been falsified. It's a theory in tatters, but the Vatican promotes it, just as they promote Darwinism and the atheists and Darwinists who think that we're apes, that we've evolved from apes. And so that humanist, materialist worldview destroyed the church in Europe. The church is dead in Europe, largely. And it's dying in America. The mainstream denominations, that have adopted Darwinism and the Big Bang and the day-age false interpretation of Genesis 1 and their denial of a global flood. All that works together to utterly undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the church becomes the enemy of the gospel. And Exhibit A is the Pope's visit last week to Ireland. That was Exhibit A, where the two most significant things that happened were that he invited a priest to speak before he did, saying that the church has to accept homosexuality, to where the victims of priest sexual abuse came out in mass. Those were the two big things that marked Pope Francis' visit to Ireland and the fact that the country had just voted to dismember unborn children, to decriminalize abortion, child killing. Sure, when those who should be the moral authority are themselves immoral and so corrupt, Jesus said, don't put your light under a bushel. If the salt loses its saltiness, then how can it preserve and protect? And then we have the Catholic News Agency with their report out that Monsignor Lanthiasumi, who was also in Washington, D.C., he's another Catholic diplomatic official. You see, the plot thickens here in the public condemnations of high-level Roman Catholic officials, condemnations of the Pope. So this Monsignor, who was working there at the Vatican's embassy in Washington, D.C., he tells the Catholic News Agency that while he doesn't want to say anything else on the matter, he said that Archbishop Vigano said the truth. That's all. That's all I'm going to say is that Vigano told the truth. And Vigano's the one we've been talking about, the Vatican's top diplomat, who said that from the beginning of Pope Francis' papacy, from when he was, I hate even saying these words. They're so weird. Imagine the first time somebody goes to heaven and tells Peter, hey, Peter, they're saying you were the first pope. He'd say, the first what? The first pope. He'd say, what's a pope? A pope's a guy who's not allowed to be married, who's the head of the Roman Catholic Church. What in the world are you talking about? Don't tell my wife. She'll think you're nuts. What are they saying down there? At any rate, it goes on and on. In Texas, there's a Bishop Strickland in Texas who told his flock, hey, the accusations, they seem credible to me. That's the accusations against the Pope. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details, and that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob Enyart live on the air. Thank you.